Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in to Circles of Prosperity this morning. I'm Cynthia Johnson, and I'm here with Dr. Reggie Johnson, of course, and a very, very, very special guest, Tanya Walker. And, of course, Gloria Wells is moderating our chat room this morning, and with this being Oracle Friday, we're going to have a really short show because Tanya is a fill-in for our scheduled guest, Adele, and Tanya has a short window of time, so I really want to introduce Tanya to you and go ahead and start taking our calls. I'll ask Dr. Reggie to take us into our morning prayer first.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for Tanya, and we thank you for who she is. I've known her for a while. She is a beautiful spirit. I thank you that she's an angel in process. Evolving soul, accelerating greatly in the evolution of who she really, truly is as a spirit. Thank you for letting your spirit work through her, giving people the oracle information that they need to let them find direction that they seek, and let us realize that all is complete within us, and let us find balance, and let us find love as spiritual partners. I believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. So let me give you guys the number, and you need to call in now. I know a lot of you like to sit on the sidelines and wait, but if you want to get in on a reading with Tanya this morning, you need to dial 914-338-0590. Press 1 on your telephone keypad for an answer. Go ahead and call in now. The queue is filling up. So let me tell you a little bit about Tanya. First of all, she's a dear friend. She's definitely one of Dr. Reggie's students, but her passion is the tarot. She's a writer. She loves the tarot. She's a natural healer and a level 3 Reiki master. And what I can tell you about her is that she is a master manifester and a huge follower of oneness. She was with us part of the way through the book Oneness, but that she loves that book. So I want to say good morning to Tanya. How are you?
Good morning. I am blessed.
You are
awesome. Thank you so much for getting me on.
Listen, thank you so much for filling in today. And you're not only are you out of town, but you said, I just so happened to have my tarot cards. So you're out of town and up. So anyway, Tanya, we're going to, since you have such a short window of time, is there anything that you want to say to the audience in terms of how you work and what information you'll need from them as they ask their questions?
Oh, yeah, thank you so much. I think what works best for me is something that Dr. Reggie always says to do, is to take a couple of deep breaths before we start, so that way, since we have a short window of time, you're already grounded in your energy, and I can just immediately start with what your questions are. I think it probably will work better in short time if there are questions. If not, I can just do a general reading.
Okay. Now, we do have people in our chat room. From time to time, I'll try to pull them in. So if you're in the chat room, if you have a question for Tanya, you can type it in. Is that okay, Tanya? Because I know you work on Twitter. Tanya does readings, tarot readings on Twitter. Okay? So,
yes. Tarot Tuesday.
Tarot Tuesday. I will give out, let's give everybody your contact information because I know they're going to love you.
Okay. You can find me on Twitter. My handle is Speak Write Love. That's SpeakWriteLove. My website for my blog is also speakwritelove.com. And as you mentioned, I do tarot readings via Twitter every other week, and it's called Tarot Tuesday. And you can also find me on Twitter as at Tarot Tuesday. And on Tuesdays from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Time, I'll answer questions and, hashtag it Tarot Tuesday. If you're on Twitter, you know what that is.
All right, all you Twitter guys out there, hashtag Tarot Tuesday to reach Tanya. Well, let's go ahead and get started this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning. Area code 347, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Is this Karen?
This is Karen. Hello.
Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you all?
We're great. You take your deep breath and you have a question for Tanya.
Let's see. I really don't, and I didn't think that I was pressing a button. But let me see. Do I have a question? I don't know. What do you see in the what do you see in the next 30 days for me? That's a broad one. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what I see today. I see that you definitely have good heart energy. There's this good, loving vibration that comes up in the center of my chest. And I also feel a lot of good kind of soothing energy around the throat chakra. So I think, particularly as it relates to manifesting, as long as you allow your heart energy to kind of permeate through everything that you're doing, you will have a better aligned ability to speak and to manifest with your voice, as long as it's connected with what I'm feeling in your heart chakra.
Wow.
Okay, in the next 30 days specifically, we see that there are a number of things that you, have on your calendar or wish list of items that you were hoping to see in the fall. And so you'll start to see some of the first fruits of those things kind of manifesting. I don't get that it's coming through as strong as it should. So like your energy is just a little bit upside down on some things that you've kind of asked for early fall. So I think the more you're able to do your meditations, if there's an easy audio one that you can do to kind of ground yourself on a daily basis, that's going to help you bring it through just a little bit easier. I also feel that there are some things that you may have felt like major shakeups in your life that have kind of you've had like the residual effects of. You should be seeing this month and you're saying 30 days, but we're already at the end of the month, so it's more like toward the middle of October, you're going to start to see those things kind of shifted out of the way, and you'll feel, a lot lighter. Something that you've been asking for specifically that connects with, like, your emotional vibration, like your heart's longing, it's like the universe is saying that they've heard you. The more time that you're spending outdoors, time where the last leaves are green and they're turning into these vibrant colors, you'll start to feel those things kind of come in a little bit more for you. And they're saying they hear you, but you tend to be just a little bit, I don't want to say stubborn, but maybe a little adamant about what you want. And they're saying every cup that they put before you is an answer to a prayer. So know that this ultimate one that you're looking for, you do receive, but you want to take from every cup that God puts before you, not just hold out for this one, only the one. Because everything is a process, and every sip that you take, you know, gets you a little bit closer to the one that you're asking for, and you'll see a little more fulfillment in about 4 months' time, but you'll kind of get those indications in the next 30 days.
Yep. Thank you very much. Yes. Wow. Very much. Thank you.
Wasn't that poetic? I love that. Every cup that comes before you is an answer to a prayer. Oh, girl, drama. I love it.
Yes. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Good morning. 8479, you're on the air. You have a question for Tanya.
Good morning. No, not a question. Just, I guess it's general reading. This is Carolyn.
Okay. Hi, Carolyn.
Hey.
Okay, so what you want just a general reading?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Carolyn. I certainly appreciate it. Your energy seems pretty calm, so thanks for the deep breaths. What I do sense, I think, a little bit more in your energy is, I guess, maybe a lot of pressure around the neck and shoulder areas. Perhaps maybe you're feeling like you're carrying the weight of the world there on your shoulders. Well, remember, you only carry what you want to, and when you're ready to stop, you will, no matter what it is. I get the sense that you know, things tend to be like, I guess, more a fine line for you. Like, I'm almost here, I'm almost there. And, you know, maybe that may come up with bills or deadlines or things like that. It's definitely connected in some way to things that are written and things that are spoken based on things that are written. So it could be like contract-related things. It could be like bill and payments kind of things. I'm not sure what your work is, but I get the sense that there is a lot of what may be competition or what seems like competition. And you may feel, I don't want to say that you're struggling, but you may feel like there's a lot of petty or small kind of fighting, if you will. And it's, you know, people asking you to give something that you don't necessarily want to give. And what they're saying is that while it may feel like these are things that are, you know, commentary about you, it's really people kind of speaking out their experiences and kind of where they are at the moment. So try not to take to heart or into your you know, the center of yourself, other people's judgments, and don't judge yourself. You know, everything is in divine order. The steps that you are taking is related to the things that you are called here to do. I'm seeing things that are written in the stars, so I don't know if this is necessarily things that you're praying about, but it's definitely things that you're called here to do. It's written in your Akashic records. You're intending to unfold, open up, and develop this experience. So if it feels like it's a fine line for things, or if it feels like it's a lot of competition or just small steps that you have to make when you want to run and make big challenges or tackle the big challenges, know that your hands and your heart is being prepared for the work that you're called to do. When you don't want to compete, you don't. You're the clear and obvious choice in things. So allow yourself to rest in that. You'll find that you're able to save more money because your home will feel a lot more balanced. You'll no longer think about or question, you know, how close or nearby your angels and your ancestors are. You will feel them because you will feel like you're sitting comfortably in your own power. So if it feels like struggle, it's not really. You let go of it when you're ready to let go of it, And these things are just small steps to prepare your hands to do the work that you're called to do and to hold and wield your own power. And that's what we're singing for you.
Awesome. That is so awesome. Thank you. I'm a massage therapist, so I can do it with the hands.
Wow.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you so much.
So thank you so much, Carolyn, and we wish you love and light in everything you're doing.
Thank you. Same to you.
Wow. Whoa. Okay. Listen, take a deep breath because I'm getting ready to hit the next button, okay? Good morning, 5622. Take your deep breath. You're on the air. Hello. Area code 651. Are you there?
Oh, 260. I'm sorry. It's Leslie.
Hey, Leslie. How are you? You were busy breathing, right?
No, wait. I don't know what I was doing. Not listening.
You have a question for Tanya this morning, Leslie.
I do. I am in a profession right now, which is not true to what I need to be doing. And I know I need to make the move, and I want to do get into energy work. I draw, like, energetic imprints. And I just feel like it's time to move out of my, you know, management position. It's just, it's my physical body just does not want to be there anymore. And I'm just wondering, but yet, you know, I'm raising two boys, and so I have to have the income, but like I'm sitting here not quite sure what to do, if I just can do like another move into another job that's creating money that would satisfy me while I build this other thing, or to make the leap of faith and just go for it.
Okay. So, Leslie, as you're talking, the first thing that we saw were a number of things. The first is that, like, you're a natural teacher, if you will, just as you're a natural healer and you know that, you're also a natural teacher. So no matter what you do, you're going to be drawn to things that are very similar to the type of work that you're doing now, which, you know, like in your management capacity, you're allowed to teach and to coach people on some level. So know that and accept that no matter what you're doing, where you are, we could put you on a volunteer project in the middle of a field. You're going to find some way to manage and teach and coach people because that's just who you are. The more that you embrace and accept that, and the more that you'll reach your equilibrium and feel in love with who you are and what you're doing, and I think that's going to allow you to ease and transition out of the more structured corporate type of work into the energy healing that or the type of work that you're doing that you're wanting to do that's more connected with your spiritual passion, which is more along the lines of energy healing in your artwork. We do see that there is still a bit of waiting, but the waiting that you're doing is not necessarily for a job or an opportunity or the right timing as much as it's waiting for Leslie's timing. When Leslie feels like she's comfortable, when Leslie feels like she's ready to not have what feels like, you know, this tumultuous upset or this challenge that requires you to pick a part of yourself. At the end of the day, the teacher that you are, the master that you are, that's at the center of your soul, that wants to be honored by not feeling that you have to choose one or the other, but that you're able to bring all things into harmony and to feel your equilibrium, feel at love with yourself, your life, and then you no longer have to wait. You can bring these different areas of waiting, because you feel like you're waiting in both areas of your life. You bring that waiting to a strong foundation of home building, and I think it's in the foundation of the home building that you'll start to allow yourself to naturally evolve into doing the more spirit work that you're wanting to do. We're also feeling like, you know, some of that conflict that you're feeling, it's really just you fighting with yourself. It's not at all, like you fighting with the industry or the job or really the need to provide for your family. Because once you're clear that it's Leslie's time now, all of that falls together in harmony. You no longer question, you know, what you're doing for your family or for your vocation because they're one and the same. You don't have to choose except but to choose harmony, if you will. We think that between 5 months, within the next 5 months or so, you'll no longer feel this conflict the way that you've been feeling it. And in another 10 months, you'll find that things have been, like the path has been open. You'll be able to see a lot more clearly where you're going. But also you'll feel, some of that start to settle or start to, you'll start to feel a little more settled and some of those things starting to come in October, because in October you start to see some of the energy of the new year. They also like send some messages to you. I'm not sure of where you are in terms of relationships, but they send messages to you via written channels. It could be email, it could be text, but we see potential relationships start to come in some of these written ways that I'm mentioning that they're sending messages. And so they're just saying, have faith. You'll have, like I said, you'll start to see it in 5 months, but in 7 months you'll have options to choose from. And some of that will include, like, new job relationships. But make sure that you're picking what's ready for you now, not where you're going, but what's ready for who you are now, and allow yourself to grow into that harmony. You have an immense strength, and you want to honor that, as well as your soul's mastery. That's what we're seeing for you, Leslie. We hope that helps you.
Okay, thank you. Yes, it
does. You're welcome.
Thank you so much, Leslie.
Thanks.
9473, you're on the air.
Good morning, this is Woody.
Good morning, Woody. You're awake this morning, huh?
Yes, I am.
You have a question for Tanya.
I guess a general reading.
Okay. All right, let's see, Woody, we get the sense that you're completing something. And I'm not sure what, but we're looking at the tarot. All righty. They talk about, different types of lessons that you've learned. And I'm not sure if... how do we say this? I'm not sure if that's necessarily heartbroken or there's some things that, you were hoping to have work out. Oh, wait, I'm seeing that. Okay, wait, I'm sorry. I am seeing some things that I think are, like, legacy-related, more type of things, I guess. Do you have kids?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so I'm seeing that there's some things that, were like more legacy and things that you're wanting to pass down and kind of, foundations that you're wanting to set for kids. And it's like some of those things that you were hoping, maybe you're hoping that it would be a little easier or maybe you had this kind of pie in the sky kind of view that we all tend to have about marriage and family and things that you pass down in generations. And so they're saying some of those things have been like a little sad for you and a little heartbreaking. And, but they're saying something of what you miss in not having things go so orderly and, aesthetic or view of how life and family goes. Is that you miss that in some of the conflict that you experience, some of the heartbreak, is really where you grow and develop your spirit. So don't worry about places where things don't go by the book or, you know, how it would on a TV show, because it's like those little hiccups really build strength of character, but also depth of faith. And we see at least what looks like four different generations of men that are probably ancestors. And I don't know if you have known them in this lifetime or if they're just, you know, kind of there influencing you. But, you know, they look like they range from the real earthy kind of, you know, spiritual, really in connect with the land kind of men, to the more formal, religious, Pope kind of people, you know. There's also, like, some guy with some type of headdress on, and I'm not sure if, you know, it's tribal in some nature. It doesn't necessarily look like African or Native American Indian. It actually looks a little more like Indian from India, right? But what they talk about is having the influence of those ancestors and these men of faith to influence you to see these family connections and different relationships with women that doesn't seem that they've worked out, and things that could have left you heartbroken, as some of the things that you pass on are things that those men have helped to influence and help to give you within your lineage, which is like this depth of faith, this connection to this, to the earth, to the planet, this structured fate and religious ceremony. Like in your worship practices are like the seeds of how you manifest and create things for your future legacy. So they're saying to remember that those things are more important to pass on to your kids and to pass on to future generations, because that's really where the mastery is. That's where the things that you're going to do that's going to have a bigger impact on the planet and on, this helping to reach this peaceful place in the planet, like this evolution we're moving toward, that's really where you're going to be able to stand out on solid ground and create, you know, in futures and for the planet, this real goodness. So they're saying what you want for your family and future generations, you have the ability to speak and plant the seeds of those now, just as your ancestors prayed for you four generations ago. So you want to start doing those things now if that's important to you, but know that it will also be important to, you know, your lineage down the line, because you prayed for them today, you pray for them now. So that's kind of what I'm getting.
Okay.
So I hope.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Does that resonate with you? Do you have a feeling about that?
Yeah, that makes sense. That's that makes
definitely
sense. Yeah.
All righty. Thanks, Woody.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's see. I have that it's 7:28, and I definitely know I have to let you go by 7:35. You want to squeeze one more in?
Yeah, and Cynthia, I am so sorry that I didn't have more time, because I would ideally like to give people the opportunity to ask a follow-up once they hear it.
Yeah.
But it is good for me to be here and help a little.
I know. Listen, they get to taste you, and we'll have you back, and the line, you know, it'll be awesome. I'm just going to pull one more person and see if they have a quick question. 2345, do you have a quick question for Tanya this morning?
Good morning. Yes, this is Gloria, and I do. I would like to know, I'm in the process of moving more strongly in my mastery, and I just have a general question about that. Is there a direction that you see that I'm being guided into more than another?
Well, Gloria, I think you're pretty blessed in that you have a very orderly process to doing things, and that in essence, really helps you to grow and to be clear about what you want and where you're going. And I think the more that you are clearing your thought and clearing your intentions, and you are being orderly in your approach, and that you're not trying to pull so many things in at once, I think that is beneficial to you. But I think that's beneficial to all of us, that, same clear thought, clear intention, and to have some sense of order. I get that you are on the verge of a major transformation. They don't necessarily speak of one direction versus another, but they talk about transforming everything in your life. Dr. Reggie would say this. He would say sometimes things will get chaotic and it'll look like everything's flying all over the air. But what you don't realize is that those things that are flying are angels moving them out of the way. Because you don't see the angels, you only see the things flying. Well, you're just on the verge of a period where you're going to see things being moved out of your path so that you can continue in the spiritual evolution. You'll find that you'll speak with this sense of fiery compassion about things. And the more that you can, take those deep breaths and connect with what you really feel in your heart. If you don't feel it, don't speak it lightly, because you are going to be able to speak with this fiery passion that people are going to listen. You're going to quiet something within people. And from that, heart-centered, fiery passion, you're going to be able to help people manifest what they want, just as you're speaking into existence what you want. I'm going to be honest with you and tell you I do see major challenges, but the major challenges that I see are only challenges relate to how much you resist, right? If something seems chaotic, ask yourself, is God attempting to move this out of my way so that I can work my purpose, right? And if it's painful, ask, what am I attached to that's making this painful, and how can I let go and detach from it to give me what God is intending in this moment? I think the more you ground yourself, speak from your heart, let go of whatever it seems you are fighting about, and you welcome what God's giving to you by kind of asking those questions and welcoming, you'll find that your ability to create and to manifest is going to be pretty close to like a one-on-one, if you will. So instead of you asking and it takes a month for it to come through, you'll find that as you're asking, it's being made manifest to you the day you're asking for it. But it's going to be important that you resonate with your heart energy and you speak only what you feel. If you feel it lightly, don't speak it. Wait till you feel stronger about it. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes, definitely. That resonates really strong with me, the things that you're saying there. And thank you so much. That's helpful to know that some of the challenges that I perceive are really just there to move me in the direction that's for my highest and best good. That really resonates strongly with me where I am now. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and then in about 3 months, you're definitely going to be in this place where you're feeling like anything that was emotionally rocky is behind you, and you're going to be feeling, your calm and your spirit. So, we celebrate that for you.
Woohoo, I celebrate it too. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gloria. Okay, Tanya. We hate to see you go.
I know, and I hate to go because I'm enjoying it. No.
But listen, I promise that we'll have you back. So check your calendar let me know a great time for you to come back. And listen, you have a wonderful, wonderful, blessed day. You definitely started our day off with a bang, and we love you so much. I just want people to know that they can reach out to Tanya at speakrightlove.com. Her handle is on Twitter. She does Twitter Tarot Tuesday every other Tuesday, and that's called at Tarot Tuesday, hashtag Tarot Tuesday. Hey, I don't know. I'm not a Twitter D. Twitter dumb. I'm more Twitter dumb. Huh?
No, you are beautiful in every way. Look, if they're on Twitter, they already know what you're talking about from what you said, so we are good.
Okay.
Thank you so much. And
thank
you to Dr. Reggie as well, because I do feel his energy as I'm reading, and that is always encouraging, so thank you.
Mm. He's there. So bye-bye. We love you.
All righty. Have a good one. Love you,
too.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Wow. I just love when your students come on and I can see how much they've grown. Isn't that just amazing?
Mm-hmm. It really is. And you know what? She's a major blessing. She is. I remember before she got to do readings, she was in one of the classes, and this girl was very combative. And she was the person to calm this girl down in the midst of all this chaos and confusion. And at that point, I told them that when things seem chaotic, and things are moving all over the place and flying in the air and things are moving like a hurricane, that's when those angels are there present brushing things out of your way. But you don't see the process. All you see is all the chaos. Learn to see past it. And I'm glad she remembered that little tale. I remember that. Beautiful things to remember when somebody's paying attention. It's a very powerful thing, and it makes me very happy that she's elevated herself to the level in tarot. Because tarot is an ancient practice. It's wonderful.
Wow, I know. She's just amazing. And to see her do this on Twitter, it's just...
That blows my mind, too.
That blows my mind, you know. But I guess if you're young and you're really into texting and Twittering and you're on your mobile phone, you don't have time to stop to get a reading. Dropping in every other Tuesday on Tarot Tuesday is awesome. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, the tools change. So, let me get Gloria back on the line here. Because, hold on one second. Hi, Gloria.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. I saw you typing something in the chat room.
Yes, I was typing in there about the new book. I wanted to hear more about Dr. Reggie's new book, if we had time this morning, and then or about the new book that we'll be going into. And I don't know. I didn't know how much time we had left. I also had a quick story I wanted to share, that the reading that I just got was powerful. I mean, it was right very much in line with, you know, where I am right now and how I feel right now, more importantly. So
mm-hmm.
I didn't know how much time we had to really discuss that, and I also want to talk about the new book. So you tell me where we go from there.
Well, here's the first thing. I know some things that are going on in your life, you have just had a powerful, powerful demonstration in your life, and I would love for you to share it with our audience, because you know, we are Circles of Prosperity, and we're all about manifesting, and I love to hear these stories. So just go ahead, and the floor is yours, and then we'll talk about Dr. Reggie's book.
Okay, well, one of the things that, the really cool things that has happened for me is my relationship with, I'm a smoker, so my relationship with cigarettes has completely evolved and changed and is really turning into very quickly me becoming a non-smoker. So I guess that's one of the things I could really jump into. What happened was about about a few weeks ago, I just began to start to notice certain mannerisms that I have with that. Noticing me holding my lighter for long periods of time. I don't know if there's smokers on the line, they probably can relate. Holding my lighter in my hands for a long period of time, or finding that I needed to do something with my hands if I wasn't smoking, just really becoming aware of those types of mannerisms. So within a couple of weeks of me beginning to become more aware of that, I had this tremendous epiphany. I knew that it was time for me to let that go. If there wasn't any question, it wasn't forced upon me in any way. Like I've discussed before, that I've tried quitting before. I mean, I've tried a lot of different things, patches, pills, you name it. I've tried it for that. But, you know, and of course, people trying to encourage me to stop as well was a big thing. But this came through no outside source. I'm convinced that this was coming from within, so much so that it felt as if I was having to say goodbye to an old friend. You know, I felt a real sense of letting go of, just becoming more aware of where I was right now in terms of my spiritual growth, and that no longer was in. It just was revealed more as a limitation, more so than anything else for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it just was no longer congruent with who I'm becoming. So that being said, I mean, over the next following week after this great epiphany, I literally went from almost a pack a day to literally a pack within an entire week. So, and that's
wow.
Amazing considering, you know, that I don't have, like I say, I work in a situation where I don't have any type of limitations where I have to go outside or anything like that. So for me to have reduced it that much in that short of a time is just amazing to me. And I'm looking at it too, like, oh my goodness, just in awe. So, so I'm quickly moving into, a space where that won't be a part of my life anymore, and I'm aware of that. That's why what Tanya was saying to me resonated so strongly, because I very much feel that way. If there's a strong passion in my heart, that's when it seems that things get done, that things begin to manifest.
Mm.
I've shared that before too, where she said when you speak something, it's if you're passionate about it, it's coming very quickly into your manifestation. And I've seen that. I've seen evidence of that since being on this path with letting go of releasing the cigarettes from my life, because it's not that I'm shunning that part of me. I understand that that's a part of me, and I know that, you know, I'm not labeling it or judging myself as a result of it, and I think that's where my success with it is coming from. So just typically when I feel very passionate about something, I'll say it, and there it is. She was right on target with that. I mean, something will pop up on TV or a book, or somebody will say something right after I say something, and it's just amazing. So
wow.
That's part of the journey, that part of the awakening that I've been experiencing. I very much feel like I'm in a transformation of some sort. It feels like something is right on the other side of the door, and I don't know what it is. I don't know what it'll look like when I get there, only I have a very strong feeling that something is there and that I'm about to become a part of it in some kind of way, shape, or form.
Wow, that's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. To go from a pack a day to a pack a week in a week's time. And no desire really to continue. I mean, you just know that you're done with this experience.
Right. Absolutely, I do. And sometimes when I'm the you know, when I do smoke, I mean, I'm usually looking at it like, you know, you're out of here soon, right? You know, so I'm having that kind of conversation with it, and I know that it won't be long before it is complete. It will be complete soon. As a matter of fact, I truly believe it's already complete. I just, that part I'm still a little shaky on, like, you know, if my body is catching up with you know, the choice that I've made in my mind. But I realize that I'm complete with it. And at this point, it's like, you know, just kind of still holding on a little bit and in the process of letting go of that. And I do want to mention, too, I had mentioned before that I had this huge presentation coming up, and I told you guys that I would keep you posted.
Right.
On how that went. Well, that went over so phenomenally well on Wednesday that I'm still in a, you know, I'm still in a very, I'm telling you, I'm on some sort of roller coaster ride that's heading somewhere fast, I'm telling you. So,
well, you know what I like about that particular story is how you've tried to make a change in this corporation several times. You've made this recommendation to them more than once, but you recognize that you were making a recommendation from a position of, would you say, was it a position of fear?
I would call it fear or frightened, the frightened part of me. I would actually use Gary Zukoff's word and say that I was coming from a frightened part of myself, the fear, and that equates to fear. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just a fearful part of myself. And frustration, all of those things combined. Yes, I was coming from those places before now. And I'm just going to paraphrase one of the comments that I got from one of the managers after, and I was very nervous. I went through this thing on Wednesday where I was confident, then I went from confidence to nervousness and then back to confidence. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what is going on? I know, because I've prepared very well for today. So the nervousness wasn't about the material. What I realized after the fact was the nervousness was that I really felt that I was carrying all of my department with my words, you know, because what I was saying had the potential to change everything for everybody. So that I felt that. I felt the burden of them, you know, on my shoulders, too. And I don't really want to call it a burden. Burden is the wrong word. I felt their struggles as I was, what I was trying to change was affecting so many people. And it was like I felt their, the struggle that they were having with it and how important what I was bringing was to them, too. So it made me very nervous. But I got over that and gave my presentation and, like I said, I was going to paraphrase what one of the managers said to me after it, after I gave it. First of all, the look on their face—they were not—they were not prepared for the level of thoroughness that I came with this time. It was very evident. But after I'm looking at it, and so one of the managers says, "I the only thing I can say is I love, love, love it." I will never forget those words.
Oh, my
God. She used the word love three times. I'm like, okay, great, you know. So I walked out of there with this tremendous feeling that True Star was born that day. That was the name of the system that I introduced. It was my, you know, it was given to me. I feel like it was given to me. I don't feel like I mean, it just came from nowhere. It was just kind of, given to me is the only word I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
But so the name of the program that I introduced is called True Star. And so on my way into work that day, I'm singing happy birthday to True Star. I knew that was its birthday that day.
Oh, wow.
So it was just amazing. I mean, we could talk until noon about this situation because I just feel overjoyed in the amount of feedback I was getting the next day from managers that I hadn't even talked to. It was just phenomenal. So I'm in a very, 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 very special place in my life, and I know that. And the beautiful part of it is that I'm so aware that that's where I am. You know what I mean? I'm really aware of what's happening around me, and that's why what Tanya had to say was so important to me too, because she basically told me to remain aware, to only move if I feel that passion within my heart. And right now I just feel a ton of passion towards almost everything I'm involved with. There's a high degree of passion there, so it's just an awesome feeling.
Wow. And guess what? You know, your passion is really God knocking at your door. You know, that's the joy. You know, church people say, is it God's will for your life? Your passion is God's will for your life, because that's the thing that brings you the joy. You know, the part of this, some of this story I've heard, I didn't know the results of your presentation, but one of the things that stood out for me when you initially shared with me this process that you've gone through with this presentation was how you recognized that in some of your material you were on the attack, because here, you know, you do this work, but you're trying to develop the system, and you were blaming them on some level. Your language lashed out at them, and how you went back into your presentation to soften it and to just really show the benefits and the strengths of this program that you're implementing. What you spoke from your heart. Isn't that what Tanya said you had to do?
Absolutely.
You spoke from your heart. You let your passion from your heart, not this passion of you guys are screwing up and making them wrong and blaming them. You went internally to speak from your heart. Congratulations. Congratulations.
Very much so. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I really, really feel the momentum there, and that is absolutely it. It was a matter of me turning that around, removing the blame, removing and speaking. And that's something I asked for before I went into this. I want to speak from the healthiest parts of who I am.
Wow.
I don't want to speak in fear. I don't want to act in fear. Yes, this needs to be corrected, but there is a way that I'm choosing to do this that will be healthy for everybody. And I am telling you that they received it so beautifully. It was as if they knew I was speaking from the healthiest parts of me, and they received it from the healthiest parts of who they were. So it was just phenomenal, just phenomenal.
Thank you so much for sharing.
You
know,
thank you.
I have people lining up here in the queue. I'm going to see what's going on. Let me go see what's going on.
Absolutely.
But look, I know that there's more to tell, and you have to keep us posted. And don't let me close out the show without talking about Dr. Reggie's book. But I want to talk to some of the other callers here. God bless you.
Yes, absolutely. God bless
Love
you. Thank
so
you.
So much.
Love you.
Oh. You know, take circles of prosperity. Look at the principles that she was applying. She was practicing, wasn't she? She was practicing the principles that we talk about every day. And look at the success that's coming to her. You can manifest. I'm telling you, you can manifest your heart's desire. Good morning, 0944. You're on the air this morning. Hello.
Hi, this is the first time I found your show.
Oh, okay. How are you today? What's your name?
Well, I'm not doing that great, and my name is Tonetta, and I had a very bad, rough night, so I thought I would call in and try to get a question answered and see what message I get.
Okay. Well, Dr. Reggie is here. What's your question?
Well, it is a relationship question. Is that okay to ask?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My question is, I would like to know what you see in the future with me and Danny, because I feel like at this point things have really gotten out of my control, out of my hands, and I don't even know what else to do, because I feel like destiny has taken this and has it in a whirlwind and all over the place. So
okay, let me answer the question. First of all, Tonetta, I love your name.
Thank you.
It's unusual. I have a niece, Tonette, not Tonetta, but it's Tonette.
Okay.
That's her middle name. With Danny, Danny's energy is all about, right now, about the past with him. He's a good person, honestly. He is a good person, but the things affect him, especially family and the ex-relationship bother him. And he goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I'm in, I'm out, I'm in, I'm out. And you want to control that, but you as a person can't control him. He has his own will and his own direction. Try to understand where he's coming from right now. Danny has a lot of things on his mind. I think he wants to do something entrepreneurial, but that's not working for him as well as he wanted to work. Other things are bothering him. I keep feeling family members get on his nerves too.
See, and I don't know about that because his mom died of cancer. He's living at home with his stepdad, and his stepdad is a problem. But here's the thing. Here's the deal breaker with me and him. I've known him all my life. We grew up four doors away from each other as kids. We started dating in June, romantically. He got involved with me. And, you know, I have a child from someone else, and he started coming over here, staying overnight, you know, doing the whole role. And then all of a sudden, backs away. And I'm like, what are you doing? Because I'm the type of woman, you date me for a month or two, and men are putting a ring on my hand and being here for me and being here for my daughter. I've only had two other relationships in my 38 years of life, and then he's the third one, and he does this to me. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he kept stringing me along from early August until last night. I finally said, you know, what are you doing? And he's like, well, you can date other people if you want. And I go, if you really cared about me, you're not going to want me with other men. He goes,
right,
well, we're not
fearful.
A couple.
You got to remember
he says,
what
we're
he's
not
going
a couple.
Through.
Right, he says,
understand.
We're not a couple. And I was
like, but you know what that is? It sounds like to me Danny has a lot of fear. And you have to break through your barrier of wanting to control it and the relationship to try to understand, first of all, his fear. What is he afraid of? That's not being addressed. Only what you want right now is being addressed. Where's our relationship? Where's our relationship? Where's our relationship? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You're addressing, attacking and addressing. Wait a minute, you're supposed to be a man. Take more responsibility. I'm looking for a relationship. You came in acting like it was a relationship.
Right.
Pretending it's a relationship, but now you're not following through. What is wrong with you? The problem is he's afraid of commitment. And now you're talking about commitment. He says, oh, no, I got to run. And know what that comes from? His childhood of abuse and somebody walking out, somebody dying, somebody not being fulfilled in their relationship and interacting with Danny. So now Danny, it's his turn now to face the music and face up to the relationship. Oh, I can't. I can't. I love you. I can't. It's a painful dichotomy of pushing back and forth, back and forth.
Right, and
where
I,
the hell
and
are
I
your
couldn't
guts?
Take.
It's too
I
much for him.
I couldn't take it no more. Even my 12-year-old daughter was sitting there saying, Mom, you know what? He should not have done that to you, and he's gonna get his. I have a 12-year-old telling me that. That's how she's looking at the whole situation. And I didn't even tell her anything. She's observing. So what happened was, at this point, I told Danny, I'm befriending you on Facebook. You know, our 30-some-year friendship, relationship, whatever you want to call it, is over. I'm not going to be allowed to be treated like this. And I just hope that you get hurt as much as what you just
did. No, you don't
today.
Hope that. No, you do not hope that, because, you know, it'll come back to you three times. What you hope is that he will get understanding and that he will get treatment for this fear that he has, and hopefully he doesn't hurt nobody else, because somebody could kill him if he hurts another woman like that. You don't want nothing bad to happen to him, because it'll come back to you three times.
Okay,
what you say
so
is, you know what,
point,
I hope Danny is okay.
What's his next
mind.
Move now? Is he just going to let me walk out of his life?
You're dealing with a person who's very sick. And you don't see that. All you see
is
the pain
don't.
That you received and the hurt that you received
right.
and the powerlessness that you received. You don't see the hurt that he's going through, why he's reacting this way. He needs to be in therapy. But you see your hurt and your my ring is not there, my relationship is not there. He's acting good, but what happened? Come to face the music, when it comes time to a relationship, it's not going to work with him because he doesn't know how to relate in a relationship. He never had a perfect relationship growing up. How can that seed blossom into flowers when there's nothing but weeds there? They're just weeds. What happened to the beautiful
right.
flowers? So you have to learn to say, you know what, I'm wishing him well, not harm. I don't want to come back to me. I hope he gets treatment. I do feel like I was cheated in this relationship. I feel I was strung along. That's going to be a beautiful
right.
relationship. And now he's telling me I can see other people. What the hell does that mean? That's crazy. But you know what?
Right, and he's been using me. I feel like I've been used, made a fool
mm-hmm.
out of.
I know. But he needs to be used inside of a place of treatment. And when he uncovers all that, maybe hypnosis, maybe therapy, whatever's going on with him to make him a whole person again, he's not a whole person. His relationship with father and mother, all that's been unraveled and crazy. And as a child growing up, without that true relationship in the heart, he doesn't know how to treat you. And it's not like a lady should be treated and not like a potential partner in life should be treated and not like a woman who wants to be married is going to be treated. So you say, you know what? I pray for him and send him blessings because he's not whole and not complete. I can't judge him. I'm not going to put a label on him. I'm going to say he needs treatment to become a whole person again. That's the problem. It's not what he did to you. It's what he did to himself.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, doesn't he see now that I'm gone? I'm real now. You know, you pushed me so much, and I'm in a corner, and that's it. I'm done. This is a deal breaker.
That's
so
right.
What's he going to do now?
I hope he's going to get treatment.
I do have something to ask you.
But is he even going to try to step forward and say, you know what, I'm sorry, Tonetta.
I hope that he does. My pressure in my mind is that he will step forward, knowing that he doesn't have you anymore. What happened here? And his escape is you can see other people. What are you talking about, see other people? We have a dynamic and unique and personal relationship. I don't want other people in that relationship. That's between me and you. But he doesn't know
right.
that. You got to remember he is sick. He's not well.
Oh.
He is not a well person. He appears
and
to
see,
be.
My fear
well.
Is, okay, now that I cut it off, and when I cut stuff off, that's it, you know, deal breaker. But my fear is that, you know, he's going to come to my door and play the boo-hoo game.
No,
whatever.
We can't have that because you know what? He needs to go to the door of a therapist and play the boo-hoo game or hypnotist and play
oh.
the boo-hoo game to unravel
right.
all that sickness and all that pain and all that torture in himself as a child up until this adulthood. Then when he comes back to you, there won't be boo-hoo. He'll be, oh, my God, what was I thinking? What was wrong with me? He needs to come to that place of realization that he is a complete person. He doesn't know that, though. That childhood is still locked in that little boy is still locked up of what the pain was. You know, people grow up, but sometimes they don't grow out. They grow up, but they don't grow out of the pain they were in. So they need to learn to unlock all that negative pain in his mind. And you can't do that for him. You can love him. I mean love him assiduously, love him completely, but you can't make him unfold all that negative stuff. If you did, it would be terrible for you. Now you're getting just one part of the aspect of the pain of this relationship from this man. But if he went
yeah.
deeper and deeper, if they were very abusive to him, you would be getting the abuse. And like, what the hell is wrong with you? You want to hit me or hurt me or kill me? That's because he's going through that in his mind. It's not you. He needs to go through therapy and get unconditional love for himself. Then he can provide you with unconditional love and think straight and think right. If he doesn't get it, he will never be healed. He'll be a 60-year-old man, 70 years old, and never be healed. That's the sad part. But until he goes to therapy, or even if you guys wanted to go to couples therapy, nothing's wrong with you, but he'll see what's wrong with him by talking to a therapist and talking it out. He'll go, oh, my God, and maybe even break down because there'll be a breakthrough from the therapist's point of view to him. He breaks down and tell you what's wrong with him. and why he was so fearful. You get to that point, you can love him completely, and he'll love you back. But until
well,
that
you,
time, it won't happen.
Do you see him? Do you see him in my future or no?
Only under one condition: if he agrees with you or alone to go get help. Because obviously there's something wrong. Somebody telling you, oh, I love you, it's going to be a great relationship. There's birds in the air singing, rainbows in the sky, fairies and unicorns, and all of a sudden, devastation, evil. What the hell is wrong with you? Darkness falls. You can see other people. No, I don't want to see other people. What are you talking about? That's not a person who's thinking logically.
No.
And romantically. Something has happened to him.
Every person that I've been involved with, you know, that got involved, they didn't want me near anybody. No man.
They didn't want you.
No, what I'm saying is my other past relationships, when they got romantic with me and were seeing me, that was it. They didn't want me dating other people like he.
No, of course not, because
know.
they were saying they didn't want you to do that. Of course not. But this guy needs help. I think you have to see that. He needs help. And for help that you can't provide for him.
Yeah, but it's going to be up to him. To approach
yes, it
me
is. Yes, it is, because
say,
it is about him.
Listen, I messed up here or something. But I don't know if he's going to do that. I don't know if this is a lost cause.
So my question to you is, if he comes and knocks on your door and says, I messed up, what will you do?
I don't know, because I knew this guy all my life. I thought, by dating him and being vulnerable and open upping to him and taking that risk and chance, I thought, you know what, this is the guy that's probably, you know, going to get engaged to me and get married. So, you know what, I got this. And I did not expect it to turn out like this. This is worse than dating a drug addict on the corner, literally. I swear to you. I did not see this coming at all.
So it doesn't make you feel very good, does it?
No, and I was going through this since we started dating in June. Things were really good. And then in August, he just spazzes out over a text message to me and says, I can't do this no more. I think we should just be good friends. I said, Danny, good friends, you crossed the line. You got involved. You know, you have a house key to my house. You got involved with me.
I understand your anger. I understand, mm-hmm. And I understand the pain that you're going through. The question that you have to go deep inside and ask yourself is, do I want to continue to feel this? Because the only thing that you can control in this situation is how you choose to respond to it. You cannot control him. You're writing this whole script, this whole play about if he comes back and what will be done and what will be said. But when he comes back, he's going to come back the same way he is right now.
Right. And I can't do this no more.
So your healing begins by saying, I can no longer do this. But now you don't want to lash out at him in anger. You have to be able to release him in love. So you're not only loving yourself, you're loving him. You've done all you can do with him. You've at least given him, you've shown him love. You've embraced him. You guys had a wonderful time together when things were great. He got scared and ran away. Like Dr. Reggie says, he doesn't know how to make the commitment. So what you've done is you have just peeled away some part of the fear that he has about relationships.
Okay.
So accept that you have blessed him and he blessed you at this moment.
I was trying to tell him, look, you hurt me and you need to really quit doing this to people
And suppose that was the only lesson he was supposed to learn from you.
Oh, well, that was a hard lesson on me because I had to go through all that pain and my daughter, too.
Yes, Yes, and that's a lesson. It's a lesson because it says, all right, I need to be a little bit more cautious about the people that I, a man that I bring into my household and into my heart with my young daughter here, because it's not just impacting me, it's impacting my daughter. So you
but her daughter's very smart.
Yeah.
She's 12 years old.
Oh, my gosh,
now,
my daughter is very intelligent.
And she knows what not to look for in relationships. Mm-hmm. She knows that by observation, this is not what she wants to go through in her future, in her marriage. Her mom went through all this pain, so I'm going to learn to pay attention to eye contact, hand movement, gestures, everything that my mom probably missed, thinking this 12-year, this guy at my age, I'm 12, I'm an adolescent. When I get to be a teenager and a young woman, I'm not going to go through that pain. I've learned all the signals. So in that state is a blessing. But in the meantime, this guy needs to be healed. And when he does, he'll come back and hopefully be a better person in the future if you decide to take him back. But if he's still the same person, not taking healing, it'll be even worse than it was before. So let him go. Let him out of your mind.
I let him go, but do you know a time frame of when he would be coming back around so I can be prepared?
I think if he has a key to your house, did you change the lock yet?
He has not used the key, and he only got one key. So I locked the deadbolt, and he doesn't have the key to that.
Oh, okay, very good. Well, that's one thing. You have a chance to say, I'm not letting you in until you change. That's the one thing from the outside. But if he calls you, you talk to him, let him know this is not going to work for me. I think I would suggest that you go get some treatment. And let's go to couples counseling so he won't think that he's the crazy person, even though he is. Don't make him think that. Just say, let's go to couples counseling. I think something is wrong.
Dr. Reggie, you just can't call the man crazy.
So you actually feel that Danny is going to actually try to come back? That he's
yes, I do.
Gonna...
I really do. I think that he doesn't realize that he's lost his way. Because, of course, men, because of ego, will say, oh, nothing's wrong with me. I'm not going into counseling, any therapy. Nothing's wrong with me. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
But let's go together. I think there's a lot of erratic energy in our relationship, and we need to love each other. We did since childhood. What happened? Let's go talk about this. Then there'll be no fear of it, and you go with him, and this therapist will see where the problem is. He won't say it directly, like, Danny, oh, my God, you lost your way. He'll say, let's do some things to get therapeutic treatment. And I want you guys to love each other more and respect Tonetta for who she is. And, Danny, respect yourself. And every day get treatment more and more and more, and it will be resolved. And your childhood sweetheart will come back to you. But in the meantime, keep him in the light and prayer, like I'm doing.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
And keep us informed, Tonetta, what's going on.
I will. I definitely will, now that I know when your show is. Thank you
so
much.
All right.
Every morning, 7 a.m.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We do Oracle Friday.
Is when we have our intuitive and counseling.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Thank you so much.
All
okay.
Right.
You have a blessed day.
You too.
Thank you, Tonetta. Good morning, 9729. You're on the air.
Hello.
How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Who am I speaking to?
My name's Crystal.
Crystal. Oh, I love your voice, Crystal. You have a question for this morning or a comment?
Yes. I actually have a court date coming up today, this afternoon, so I'm wondering how you see that going. Because I do have a lot of different things going on in my life right now, as far as a move, a new relationship, and things like that.
Okay, well, the court date, I think it's going to be in your favor. I see it turning out good in your favor. You know, that's one thing. But there has some stipulations with it, some follow-up things they want you to do, you know, no matter what, like keeping certain things away from you, not visiting certain places, that kind of stuff, those kind of stipulations. And relationship-wise, I feel that someone wants to be in your life, and you're not really sure about who that person is, even though this guy will come in and out. I keep seeing bouncing back and forth until things get better.
Yeah, somebody that we actually just decided to kind of commit.
Mm-hmm.
But it has been back and forth previous, yeah.
And what's his first name?
Jerome.
Oh, wow. Jerome's energy is very leadership-oriented, very powerful, but he's dealing with his past, too, another person dealing with the past and thinking, comparing you to the ex, and that's not good either, you know. But he's a good person, not like some other people would be. You know, I think he's got his head on straight, trying to anyway. He wants to do a lot of things, oh, my God, with lots of things in the world, like entertainment and business, a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And with all those things happening with him right now, he's got to select one thing he wants to do and get that right. Otherwise, he'll be all over the place, and it gets very confusing.
Mm-hmm. Do you see everything panning out with us this time around?
I do see it getting better with both of you. But you remember, don't try to change him.
Right.
See him differently. See the love that you saw in the very first time. And maintain that energy. Don't try to find fault. Only see the good, and that's what you'll be getting every time. Okay?
Okay. Communication with him is very difficult.
I know it's been very difficult with him. Sometimes I see Jerome getting angry and walking away, stomping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't mean that. That's from his childhood, like a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
want to scream and yell. But if he ever tries to hit you or do something violent, it's time to cut that relationship off immediately.
Okay.
Because that's not love.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel like I put all the effort in. Do you see how he feels towards me?
The energy feels really good. Because you tell him certain things and he's calm and make promises to him, how you're going to be with him and love him and all that. And those are good things. But I hope he receives it openly in his mind. He's a very good writer, too. But he's lazy.
Yeah, he doesn't like paperwork or writing or reading.
Yeah. But he means well in his heart of hearts. He
mm-hmm.
means well. But you have mm-hmm. to really try to understand this guy. But you know what? Don't try to force him to do anything. Allow yourself to unfold naturally in love. And let it happen. If it doesn't happen the way you feel, it should happen, doesn't give you nurturing back and reciprocate the energy of love, then it's time to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And bless the situation and move on.
Now, I'm going to be making a house move that I'm so
mm-hmm.
unprepared for. Do you see this going over well?
I think it will, but you have to make sure that, do you want this, is it three bedrooms?
No, it's actually two.
It's two, but I see one made to another bedroom like three.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're trying to do or where you're trying to go. You trying to make an office inside the house too?
No.
Something is going on with that third room. I don't know what that means. You'll tell me about it later, but I do feel there's more than two bedrooms. There's something else going on as a special deal, you know, that's mm-hmm. going to be happening. Do you have any pets?
No. Well, my mom's dog.
Okay. Do you take care of your mom's dog sometimes?
Not too much. I would, but I don't get to see it too much. I used to.
Not too much? Okay. Something is going to be happening, and you'll remember me telling you, wait a minute, what's this with this third room? That's crazy. I'm telling you, it will unfold. I don't know what that's about, either an office, a little teeny office space, or something you're going to be doing. Are you still in school right now?
No.
Do you want to go back to school?
I would like to. I'm actually working full-time, but I've had to come off of that due to a circumstance, and I'm hoping to go back next week to work. Do you see that happening as well?
Mm-hmm, I do. I do. Get this other thing out of your head first, the court stuff and the relationship that is bad. See good things happening for yourself, and guess what you'll get? Good energy right back to you, because that's the universe
mm-hmm.
answering you in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I see good things for you, but you have to see it too. Otherwise,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't happen, because it's not for me. It's really for you. So I'm seeing these good things for you. Accept them and put them in your mind, because the universe is on your side. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And let it happen.
Do you see Jerome and I moving in together or no?
Only if you want that to happen. If you can understand him where he is right now mentally and emotionally, then yes, it'll be a good thing to move in. I would not let him move in right now until he proves himself worthy to move in with you. If he's working, that's one thing. If he's going to help you with the bills, that's another. But if he's not, if it's just somebody who's going to be there, that's not worth it.
Yeah, he's working. Yeah, we actually work together.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay, if he's willing to make that commitment to you and you want that to happen, that's good. If you want that.
Mm-hmm.
If Jerome can provide you with love and help you financially and help you to move forward with your life, good.
Okay.
It depends on how you feel right now.
The apartment I was looking at, and I guess I feel like it's a downgrade from where I'm coming, but I do need to be closer to my family because I'm also a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's not really what I wanted to keep looking a little bit, but I have to move at the end of this month.
Do you have a daughter or a son?
A son.
Okay. How old is your son?
He's 11.
See, that's getting pretty up there now and very, very opinionated about what he wants to do, too. So Jerome obviously knows your son.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they get along pretty good?
Yes.
Okay. That's another good sign. Because 11 years old is a very powerful age, and he's very opinionated and speaks his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And when your son has your secret conversations with mom, he wants to make sure it's a bridged energy between you and Jerome. It's almost like another family. Again,
mm-hmm.
bringing this man into your house and into your life and into your son's life is a major move. It's
yes.
not just a little whimsical thing.
Right.
It means a lot. And so Jerome has to treat you nicely because your son is going to pick up the patterns at 11 of what's going on with Jerome. You guys cannot do a lot of arguing and crazy stuff in front of your son. That's going to affect him in the future.
Right.
So let Jerome know these things and give him signals with love that we have to speak in love no matter what. Love each other and make this a balanced family. If not, it's going to be heartache for you. I don't want that to happen. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So get that straightened out before he thinks about moving in.
Okay. But do you see that one place being the right one, or will I find something in the next few days that's more sufficient?
Do I think Jerome is the right one?
No. The house and the apartment.
Yeah, I do feel that's good. It's going to be okay.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right.
Okay, so Dr. Reggie, I think that's it for us today. I want to let everybody know that we are going to be studying your book, The Secret Power of Words.
And that book is very powerful to let you know that your words have a lot of power and that what you say will affect your entire life. That's what the secret power is. And remember, words evoke two emotions, either love or fear. And women speak about 100,000 words a day, men only 50. You know, so there's a lot of things going on in your life, what you're saying and what you're speaking. That's why women are such dynamic communicators these days and taking over and have broken the glass ceiling. Okay, I'm going to do the closing prayer.
Okay, well, okay.
Do you want something else to say?
No. We can go ahead and do the closing prayer. I just want to tell people where they could purchase the book.
Oh, please do.
But I lost my notes.
It's at TGS Publishing. So to get to the website is TGS, T as in Tom, G as in George, S as in Sam, TGSHiddenMysteries.com. TGS Publishing, HiddenMysteries.com.
Oh,
and they'll
great.
Give you a number. And you call that number, you can order the book or just ask and give you Dr. Reggie's book on the secret power of words, and they can process your order and send it right out to you.
That's awesome. That's going to be a wonderful journey to understand the power of our words. We're going to continue our book study of spiritual partnership, the journey to your authentic power. And we'll probably close that book out next week, and then we'll go into a review. I always like when we finish a book to go into a review of the spiritual principles for prosperity, because we are about manifesting and prosperity. So we'll do that and give people time to order your book, Dr. Reggie, and then we'll move into the book study of The Secret Power of Words. So thank you for joining us today. We love you guys. Have a great weekend. God bless you. sorry. Go ahead and do your closing prayer.